Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
The greatest intro in sports. It's Nick Faribault from Penn Live. You can watch him on our YouTube channel. The numbers are skyrocketing there and everywhere for that matter. But you can get there through our website at 937thefan.com. Nick, one of our favorite guests. You can also go to Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 12 matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Chicago Bears. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Nick, let's start with quarterbacks. That's always a good place to start, especially when you have a situation like this, with Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph. And let's ask the question we were asking yesterday. Some people think that this offense looked better with Rudolph than it did with Rodgers. And some people, it seems, think that it would look that way against the Bears, even if Rodgers were healthy. Where do you stand on that?
I mean, did they move the ball well? Sure, but Rudolph had all of 2 drives. So short sample size, but let's examine that. Do you know what his average depth of target was?
2.9 yards.
Right. It's like he dumped it off a bunch. They convert on a 3rd and 17, a 3rd and 11, and a 1st and 23. 2 of those were a dump off to Darnell Washington and a 27-yard screen to Kenneth Gainwell. Okay. So a lot of it was after the catch. But with Rodgers, the same thing. I think they had 243 yards after the catch in that game against the Bengals. And the Bengals, one of the worst tackling teams in football. This is not a surprise if you watch them on Sunday or any other game. They cannot tackle in space. So that's not going to be a viable strategy every week. Now, is Rodgers kind of struggling down the field? Yes. He is not. We've talked about this a little bit. He doesn't have great accuracy. Past 15 yards, middle of the field, really on his deep ball, he struggled. Rudolph can do a little bit of a better job there. His throw to Metcalf, despite that being called back, was a really good throw.
Yeah.
So I think there's positives to what Rudolph could bring, but I also think people sometimes forget what Rudolph struggles with. If there's any sign of pressure, he usually isn't going to – he has the opposite problem for Rodgers. Rodgers drifts and holds on to the ball. Rudolph doesn't move. He's kind of a statue in the pocket. So there's that. He also, just when things don't go well, kind of in structure, and there's not anyone open, it can go pretty awry. We saw that happen in Tennessee a lot last year. So if that's an issue that you think is a problem with the Steelers offense, I think that's something else to think about. So with a bigger sample size, I think we'd see problems with Rudolph. I still think the higher ceiling by far, Joe, is Rodgers. And I think that's the thing. They need Aaron Rodgers to get back to how he was performing earlier in the year. If he's missing, you know, open guys and taking bad sacks, though, that version of Rudolph will look better than Rodgers. But the Rodgers we saw earlier this year is undoubtedly the best version of what the Steelers offense can be. So there's 2 sides to the coin there. I'm willing to bet on Rodgers, though. I'm willing to bet on the 4-time MVP Hall of Famer to get back to where he is.
Well, that's become a more interesting story. Adam Schefter was, I think, the first to report that it was a small break in that left wrist. And now he says that the Steelers are sort of you know, batting down the hatches here. They don't like that that got out, or Rodgers doesn't like that that got out. And what Schefter is saying is, me reading between the lines, they kind of tighten the circle. Obviously, Rodgers is a private kind of guy. He probably didn't like initially that this even got out. So I don't know that we're going to get any more information except what Mike Tomlin tells us, which is probably going to be nothing later today. What do you make of all this with Rodgers, and how, if it's a small break in the left wrist, how, does that keep him out at all? Because I know he'll want to play against the Bears.
It depends on how he can function with it, right? Can he take snaps from the gun? Can he take it from under center? Is the ball security going to be disastrous if he plays? If he can wear a small brace, he can play. I mean, it's not something that's going to inhibit him, as long as he's not going to make it worse, right? I think that's the other thing. So if there's not a huge risk for injury and he can function, I think he's going to play for a few reasons. One, this is like the one team he enjoys sticking it to more than ever.
Yeah.
He owns owning Chicago. He loves it. He talked about owning Chicago this offseason before he even signed with the Steelers. Like, that was one of his teasers. So I think he really wants to play in this game. He's tough. So we'll see. As for, you know, the tight circle stuff, that's always been a Rodgers thing. He's been someone that has openly been mad when things get out in the media. But he's also, I think, very much someone that loves the attention of the media talking about him. So there's two sides to it. He loves the outrage of it. He loves the lights, the buzz. Rodgers loves him some Rodgers. There's no doubt about it. So there's two sides to that. But I think if he's functional and can play this weekend, I think he will try to get out there. It's going to be, will the trainers approve him to play, and will he be functional if he can? He should get out there and practice, take some snaps out of the gun and under center, and see how it goes.
Well, and we're talking to Nick Farabaugh from PennLive.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. George Pickens, you watched him last night. I watched him last night. All Steelers fans watched it. Would it have worked here? Should they have kept him?
I don't think it would have worked here. One, they were misutilizing him in every single way possible. Two, he was blowing up every other week. He was a disaster behind the scenes. He was not happy here. The Steelers were not happy with him here. He is better off in Dallas. He is doing everything he wanted to do. You know what? One thing that really does irk me, though, their inability to utilize him in his full skill set. They used him as a go-ball only receiver for a lot of his career here. Mm. And he's running in breakers, slants, digs, and taking them after the catch and turning them into big plays. I saw this stat yesterday. You know how many in breakers he caught last year? Two. You know how many he's caught already this year in Dallas? 11. That's crazy.
Man, that raises the question that we also talked about earlier, because it's a complicated topic in some ways. Is it the design of the offense here that was part of the problem? And is it part of the problem with their lack of explosion plays this year? Like, we've been talking about this since Ben's final years. Why can't the Steelers go over the top? Is it the offensive line? Is it a bad coordinator? Is it the quarterback can't do it anymore? Is it the receivers? What's the primary reason, in your opinion, Nick, that when I look at numbers like explosive plays, 20 or more yards down the field in the pass game, that the only teams worse than the Steelers who have fewer of those than the Steelers are the Browns, Saints, and Jets? Why?
You know what's even worse? The 10 to 19 area. They don't target that area either. And that's really where you get explosives. 15-yard digs. I believe only Jalen Hurts has less targets than Rodgers over the middle of the field in that area. So they don't target anywhere there. It's a short, quick offense. And here's the thing, Joe. I think it's largely a schematic design. And I'm not sure it's all OC related. I think Mike Tomlin has a large say in that. And the reason I'm saying that is, how much do we hear about turnovers, not only offensively, but defensively? You know where the most turnovers happen? Middle of the field, 10 to 20 yards. That area of the field is where the danger is. But you see offenses like Sean McVay's offense, Kyle Shanahan's offense, Kevin O'Connell's, the top play callers in the league right now.
Yeah.
This is where they profit. those explosive plays in that area of the field. But they also have a lot of interceptions from their quarterbacks, and that's what scares Mike Tomlin off. If he loses the turnover battle, you never hear the end of it. And so it's part of his ball control offense. Listen, Arthur Smith has kind of never been somebody that has spammed the middle of the field. I know people kind of said he did when A.J. Brown and Corey Davis were in Tennessee, but if you really look under the hood of that, he didn't nearly as much as you thought he did, and he dialed it back even more when he was in Atlanta. He's a largely a schematic guy that targets the sidelines and the underneath middle. So I think it's schematic. Now, there are times when the quarterback doesn't help. I don't think Russ could throw over the middle of the field because he couldn't see it, for example. I don't think that helped. I also think they've had a lack of receiver talent the last 2 years, so that's also not helping. So those aren't helping. But I think it's the large by extension, this idea really from Mike Tomlin to his OCs that he hires, which is why he hires OCs like Matt Canada, Arthur Smith, and those types that share a similar philosophy to him, that we target the middle of the field. While there is gain to be had with explosives, he doesn't feel like, I think right now, that they have the talent to go tit for tat and target that area. And if they lose the turnover battle, they're going to lose out. So there's too much inherent risk for them to target the middle of the field. I largely believe it's a Tomlin to OC kind of philosophy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The issue.
That's interesting, and I think you're onto something there. And nobody would ever accuse Artie Smith of designing, three ring circus explosive downfield passing games back in Tennessee. Everything he did in Tennessee was based on the fact he had Michael Jordan. So you just remember, close your eyes, remember watching that team. It was Derrick Henry left, Derrick Henry right, play action to Derrick Henry, and you can go anywhere you want. You go to A.J. Brown. Tannehill had a good year, but that also was not an explosive pass game, certainly not when they needed it to be. I think you're right about that. Limits? The mere thought of leaving you out of this conversation has Nick Faribault near tears.
Nick, I'm curious your thoughts on just Jamar Chase, Jalen Ramsey, but more so the secondary in general. James Pierre, I did not expect to be...
Yeah,
what James Pierre has been. Like, I have been one of the, no, don't put James Pierre on the field.
And Joey Porter Jr. He's been great.
Joey Penalty Jr. has not really committed any penalties recently, at least against Jamar Chase, Nick.
Yeah, man, it's been fun to watch the secondary kind of figure themselves out a little bit, isn't it? Pierre has just come out of nowhere. I really have no idea what to think of the James Pierre breakout. We're talking about an undrafted free agent from 6 years ago who's all of a sudden having a career year. He's doing a great job in everything. The technique looks crisper. The ball skills are there. I mean, he's playing with incredible physicality. I'm not surprised he had that. He's been on special teams for years. Of course, he cut his teeth being physical and willing to tackle. He's fit everything. Brandon Echols, you didn't mention. Great day in the slot. I mean, what a bounce back he had. He got absolutely worked by Ladd McConkey in L.A., and it was worrying, and then he comes back and has a phenomenal game this week against the Bengals. Kyle Duggar and Jalen Ramsey, though, are the storyline of this secondary and their turnaround. They brought stability, and the Steelers have flipped the scheme on its head. They were a primarily single-high team before that Colts game. They ran single-high coverages, I believe, 65% of the time. Since then, I think it's like 70% the opposite way, split safety stuff. They are running a lot of cover two, cover four, Tampa two, cover six, different things that they haven't run a lot of. They're still running a good bit of single high, but they're mixing it up in the way they're getting there. The blitzes are looking different. It's a really, really, really nice evolution. Credit to Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin for that. They turned over this thing. They threw darts at the safety position, and they found one in Duggar. It seems like they've really found something there in the secondary, not just player-wise, but schematically as well. So that's good coaching when you look at it. That's what good coaching looks like.
Is Deshaun Elliott officially out for the year?
So,
like, how would that factor in if he could come back with those two guys?
So he could come back, like, late. Like, maybe if they make it to, like, the divisional or AFC championship game, I think is that's when he would come back. But I do not expect him back for the rest of the regular season. And I'd even say wild card divisional round is probably pushing it. So I don't think he's truly out for the year, but very possible he is.
All right, Nick. What kinds of problems do the Bears present? Are they actually a good team? Is the record indicative of how good they are?
They have some really interesting strengths. One, their defense is bad, but gets a ton of turnovers. They lead the league in turnover differential right now. I think the defense has forced 22 turnovers this year. So that's a big thing, but they're very gettable. You can run the football on them. You can pass it. They have a lot of injuries in the secondary. They're missing their top two corners in Kyler Gordon and Jalen Johnson. They're missing their best linebacker in TJ Edwards. They are banged up in that respect. So the defense, you can work on them as long as you don't turn the ball over. That's going to be the big thing for the Steelers offense. You cannot turn the football over. I think they'll be able to quick game them. I think they'll be able to run the ball. So let's see there. The offense, the Bears offense is kind of funny. I mean, Ben Johnson, obviously fantastic play caller. We know what he does. It looks very similar to what he did in Detroit, but it's tailored to Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams is having a good year. But he can get into his volatile state sometimes. If you kind of remember in 23 when Jordan Love came to Pittsburgh, you kind of saw the emergence of him coming out, but he was still very turnover prone and had you had opportunities to get him. That's kind of the same thing with Williams. But this Bears rushing attack is something serious. DeAndre Swift is working really well. They have a few backs they use as well. So that'll be something to look at. They have two tight ends in Loveland and Kmet that are really solid. And a few receivers in Odunze, Burden, and DJ Moore. So they have weapons. They have a good play caller. Caleb Williams is having a nice year, but he can run into sacks. And he can be a volatile player. So it's a good team. Is it as good as their record? I'm not sure. They've been in some battles with some less than stellar teams. They took them a lot to beat the Bengals, for example. They were in a fight this past week with the Vikings. So this is a winnable game for the Steelers. It's not an easy game. The Bears are a solid team, but this is a winnable game for Pittsburgh, and they beat teams better than the Bears. So they can win this game if they follow what they want to do, which is I think they need to run the ball, and I think they need to stop the run. If they can have a similar performance in terms of stopping the run as they did against Indianapolis – and put the weight and the onus of this game on Caleb Williams, I think they'll have opportunities to really get on him turnover-wise and try and really get up on that turnover differential.
I kind of like the matchup for the Steelers. Thank you, Nick. I know you got to get over to the Tomlin News Conference. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on, as always, guys. Appreciate it.
What a nice man he is, huh, Limits?
Incredible, man. Always says goodbye on the way out, too.
We're going to get to just a mind-boggling Jeff Passan piece on, basically it's on free agency, but a lot of it's on the Pirates and what they plan to do. This man doesn't write this if he doesn't believe it to be true. That's the thing about Jeff Passan. But first, real quick, James Franklin to Virginia Tech.
Yes.
What do you make of this?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I appreciate you having me start with this because they got the buyout down to $9 million, and I think that that's significant. But
which we all knew. That was the big story, and nobody acknowledged the fact that if you go to a new place, it mitigates the buyout.
Right.
It was never that big of a deal.
No, it was not.
Now, for LSU, it might be, because Brian Kelly might not go to a new place, and he wants all his money. But for the most part, if you go to a new place, it's mitigated.
Right, and it was written in Franklin's contract that way, so in case you do have an instance where that's the case.
Did you say that Virginia Tech plays Pitt next year?
Virginia Tech and Pitt play in Blacksburg next year.
In Blacksburg. So
I want to go.
So do I. Franklin's going to say this is no different than playing Akron, and Narduzzi will say we could lose 110-3 and it won't matter. What a matchup.
Yeah, I think, look, Franklin recruits that area very well. He does well in the DMV. He does very well with, you know, the border of Pennsylvania and Virginia. So I think he's going to recruit well. I don't see this ending up with them being, like, consistent going to the playoff contenders, though, in the ACC. Now, the ACC is so poor, maybe Franklin can recruit as well as he did. He's not going to recruit as well as he did at Penn State, but close to that, then I think that they have a chance. But what has really been irritating me, Joe, is all the national people that have said when Franklin was fired, oh, good decision by Penn State. They needed to do this. They had to move on. It had run its course. Are now saying, oh, well, Penn State might really regret this in 4 to 6 years. What a good hire this is by Virginia Tech. I don't think Penn State should have did that. The hindsight in all of this, I think, is ridiculous from a lot of national
Who's
people.
Who's the
I've
leading
seen on
candidate
Twitter.
Right now?
At Penn State?
Yeah.
Probably Eli Drinkwitz, the Missouri coach. There still, honestly, is not like
How about the James Madison coach?
Bob Chesney. I would be okay with that.
Kenny's brother.
He's had a really good season this year with James Madison. He's only been there
what
for
about
2 years.
What about the big-time, big-name type hires?
Like Hartline?
Has Urban Meyer taken himself out of all this?
He has, because the rumor, the speculation that I heard and many others have heard is that Penn State doesn't want Urban Meyer. Urban wanted Penn State, but Penn State didn't want Urban. And that's why he went on all these national shows to say, no, I'm not actually interested in coaching college football.
Okay.
I think it's a bunch of BS. They just didn't want him.
How about the Alabama coach?
Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
If he loses the Iron Bowl, potentially gets run out of town in Alabama, I would be all for Kalen DeBoer. Could you imagine how many Bama recruits could flip?
Well, but does that get people excited? The guy who failed miserably at Alabama is coming to save Penn State?
Well, I mean, he did have a lot of success at Washington. And
okay.
I mean, it's not like Washington has continued to be a power since he's left.
Okay. That still doesn't get me to plan the parade.
What would get you to plan the parade?
That's a good question.
I mean, who at this point would? Like,
I mean, there's
Kiffin would, but he's going to either go to LSU, Florida, or stay at Ole Miss.
Didn't the James Madison coach, wasn't he the guy that replaced Cignetti?
Yes.
So maybe he's the next Cignetti. I think it's somebody maybe a little off the radar. Limits.
I'd be okay with even a coordinator at this point, like a Will Stein at Oregon.
How about Hartline?
I don't think Hartline's ready. I mean, this is his first year calling the plays, just him. It was Ryan Day 2 years ago. Chip Kelly last year.
With a new quarterback there, I'll tell you that much.
He's a great recruiter.
Then get him in here. I think he might be the guy.
I feel like that would be more of a long-term play. So there's two different ways you have to look at it if you're Penn State. Do you
want
the long-term player?
Why is that a long-term play?
Because
he's a great recruiter, and he's doing a great job right now as a coordinator.
Yeah, for 1 year at a big school with Ryan Day also having his hands on a lot of different things.
Yeah, okay.
Look, I think Hartline in like 2-3 years is going to be a good coach in college football.
Well, then get him
now. Are you willing to wait on that?
Yes.
Or do you want to win next year? Because Penn State's schedule is easy.
They ain't winning next year.
Their schedule is easy, Joe. They have Michigan is like the hardest game.
Yeah, what's going to happen to them in the transfer portal?
It's a good question. But you would imagine that whoever the new coach is,
but you're not
is going to
satisfied
bring some guys
with
over.
Winning anyway.
What do you mean?
You want to win a national championship or bust.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying with Hartline, I don't think that would be the case right off the bat.
Who would it be the case with right off the bat? Who walks into Penn State and wins a national title?
I think Lane Kiffin could.
Is there a chance that could happen?
Probably not. He's going to stay in the SEC.
I would think.
They supposedly gave him an ultimatum.
I saw that.
By the Egg Bowl. You either stay with us or you leave.
You never want to lose the Egg Bowl limits.
No.
All right. Coming up next.
You ever had eggs thrown at your house before?
No, I may have thrown a couple as a kid. I don't know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.